Everybody just calm the f*** down. You'll get your answers. Sheesh.
Welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 154 for October 30th, 2008. This is your host, a rock legend, Logan Decker, and today I'm joined here at the PC Gamer Compound by Associate General Manager Kristen Salvatore.
Hey, hey, hey.
We'll get to that. Reviews Editor Dan Stapleton, Associate Editor Evan Lottie, and intern Josh Augustine on bass guitar.
I didn't get to say hey, 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 hey.
Well, you just did. Evan, you want to pipe in with that?
My hays are sufficient.
All right, that's cool. Josh, you gonna give a little bass riff? Give us a bass riff.
Boom, dum, dum, dum.
I don't know. I do play bass.
Just do the Seinfeld sound effect thing. Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea.
Well, by now many of you have heard that Kristen is promoted up the ranks here at Future US to Associate General Manager. Kristen, I'll let you tell the podcast listeners how you'll be involved with PC Gamer going forward and what you're doing now.
Well, first of all, I'm on a different floor, which is weird. So you guys are all upstairs right now and I'm downstairs, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, so she was moved up, down a floor.
Downstairs, right. So that's kind of strange.
But it's quiet down there, isn't it?
It is quiet down here. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
I'm also in an office now, which is really weird.
No, I haven't seen your office. Are you in Dan Morris's old office?
I am in Dan Morris's old office, right.
Okay. Yeah, so you're making the exact same move that he did. Like,
not quite. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, exactly right. I'm right in the same chair. No, Dan's job when he left the magazine, and he didn't even really leave the magazine. He became associate publisher, and they've kind of tweaked that job some, so that even though it is technically a move to the business side, I'm actually going to be a lot more involved with like the product than Dan probably was. So my job so far is basically, it's kind of cool. Like I sort of get to evangelize PC Gamer, which is kind of fun. I'm sort of charged with like finding ways to make PC Gamer bigger, but also ensuring that it gets better than it already is and sort of, you know, the quality of it stays really great. So It's kind of nice. Like I don't have to sell anything or anything like that, which is cool. But I do get to go out with our salespeople and just like, it's kind of great because they have to do the selling part. I just get to do the part where I talk about how great PC Gamer is.
Kick back with the cigar, stuff. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that what salespeople do?
Well, no, sales, as it turns out, you know, that's like they actually have to do this sort of wheeling and dealing of, you know, like just explaining the product is sort of the first part of what they do. And the second part of what they do is really hard. And I wouldn't want to do it. Like you have to have a certain talent, I think, for making people sort of understand like, hey, here's where what you do fits in with what we do. And now you should pay us some money. Like,
yeah, that's why you should tell our readers about your products.
About what?
About your products. They convince people why we're so great and why our readers want to buy their things.
Right. but it's kind of cool because, you know, the salespeople, like their job is to do sales, so they've never had a chance. Like they don't make the magazine, they don't work on the magazine, and you know they don't really have the opportunities to be as involved in the PC gaming community as I do and have. So it's kind of cool. Like of all, you know, it's no secret, I don't think, to anybody that the magazine business is kind of changing. And, you know, we see that when we talk to all of you out there about how the magazine is smaller because, you know, that's just sort of the nature of the business and stuff. And, you know, how many times have we in editorial been like, darn it, like, you know, we know we could. So now I kind of have a chance to put my money where my mouth is. But I'm
kind of
excited.
You know what's funny about your office is that I just realized what our offices here at Future US look like. Because most of the here at PC Gamer, we work in a giant editorial pit. But we do have offices in the building. That's Kristen's in one now. And they look exactly like the snake cages when you go to the zoo. You know, because they're kind of like that brown laminate walls and floor, you know, but a big glass window.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Kristen has a nice hot rock to wrap around.
Yeah.
And occasionally they throw me stick mice.
You know, with their arms hanging down and the tail kind of, you know, twitching.
I'm probably the only person in the world who tried to convince my boss that I didn't want an office. Like, I actually really wanted, I like sitting out with everybody. I really wanted to stay out, and I kind of wanted to stay on the fourth floor, but that was a no-go. I sort of gently suggested that maybe they didn't need to waste an office on me, and they weren't hearing it.
Well, what's wrong with the third floor?
Yeah, that's sort of what it was. Everybody was like, what do you mean you want to stay on the fourth floor? Like, blah, 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 blah.
You can't really say right after a promotion, well, it's kind of dull.
Yeah.
It's just, it creates some tension and awkwardness, you know?
Besides, I got down here and there's people who sit sort of right outside my office door, which is rarely closed. It's closed now just because I'm podcasting, but there's a bunch of people. In fact, Chuck, I sit right next to Chuck Osborne now, which is cool. So I'm in good company. But there's a couple guys down here who are like sort of like hard charging sales guys, and you know, they were like, I don't know, how do you feel about swearing? And I was like, how do I feel about swearing?
Oh, Lord. You feel about Christian swearing.
Yeah, Andy, there's a bleep coming up. So I immediately was like, swearing's fine. Just don't be suckers. They were like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the third floor needed a little Kristen Salvatore.
I think definitely. I mean, they need somebody to spark things up down there. You know what I mean? Because the last time I went down, I had to mail something in the mail office, and I was just, you know, come on, people, where's the party?
Yeah, it's true. And as of right now, I technically still have a desk upstairs, although it will soon be taken over by whoever the new editor-in-chief is. So
yes, and of course, this does mean that PC Gamer is getting a new editor-in-chief. We'd tell you who it is, but that would be spoiling the surprise.
Also, we don't know.
Instead, we're waiting for a global announcement with simultaneous red carpet premieres in 19 countries. So stay tuned for further news. When we know, you'll know.
I guess, Kristen, you're hiring your own replacement, huh?
I'm helping to hire. Like, technically, Stephen Pierce, who's the editorial director, will be involved too. But yeah, I mean, it's not like I left the company, so it sort of makes sense.
It's a lot like Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Everyone has to come in and do their bit.
Do their shimmy, right.
and they all sit behind, they all sit in their glass-walled offices and observe from behind the glass as the routine takes place in the pit, you know.
So practice your time step.
Yeah.
Does this mean I can't be on the podcast anymore?
No, you're always welcome on the podcast.
Not that I'm on
alumni.
That often anyway, but...
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. No great, you know, no
yeah,
great.
Yeah, it's not that insane. I know people are really concerned.
I think people want more drama, you know, which we can't really dish up right now. But
and I totally understand the idea. Like, there's been, you know, PC Gamer is an ever evolving organism, and I know people like to read some sort of conspiracy theories into what it means that people leave or that people change jobs or. But the truth is, actually, the fact that that people kind of like get springboard out of PC Gamer into other promotions actually speaks to how successful the magazine is, not the opposite. It's not a sinking ship. It's actually a really, really successful frigate.
Yeah.
So,
although the rumor about Kristen being a secret Muslim, that's true.
It is true. Yes. So let's move on to the gaming news of the past week. You know, I saw this on the Delicious Links, and I'm wondering, is it just a rumor that Atari picked up Ghostbusters and Riddick?
It's official on Riddick. Ghostbusters yet?
Yeah, we just talked to – I just got done with OXM, as you guys know, and Dan Amrick was talking about how he's really excited about Ghostbusters, and it's definitely true. So then they wanted to come out before Christmas 2009.
Is he going to be a Ghostbuster for Halloween
again?
He already
is,
about that?
Yes. his whole band is dressing up as the Ghostbusters.
He has the most amazing Ghostbuster costume.
Yeah, Christmas 09, he said.
But was it Christmas 09 or 08? Because, I mean, I thought the game was pretty much done.
No, it should be next year as far as what he's...
Wow, that is surprising. Cause...
Well, maybe Atari is picking it up, putting a little extra polish on it.
I think he said it leaked from Dan Aykroyd himself, actually sort of leaked this news out. So,
right.
Sort of official.
Well, that's what I meant by it's not official. Like, Atari hasn't said they've picked it up.
Right, okay.
But they're going to be adding more slime, so...
The slime engine needs some serious tweakage.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm first in line for the next Riddick game. Shoot, I should play that again, but this right now I'm in the middle of this game orgy.
How am I the only one who like didn't like Pitch Black, or I didn't even see the second movie?
Because you're crazy. You're insane. No, the second movie is horrible, but Pitch Black, obviously you had fallen asleep and were having a nightmare.
Dude, it's Vin Diesel in space. It's too fast, too furious with aliens. How can you not enjoy that?
Yeah.
Vin Diesel is a shaved monkey.
All right, that was uncalled.
Look at the guy.
It had touching ending,
He's making a good living. He's obviously figured something out.
Hey, I'd pay good money to see shaved monkeys do tricks.
You know what? I can't endorse the disaster that just happened with him and Michelle Yeoh and what was that? Babylon 8.
You really know your Riddick movies.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of scary.
I never slept better, I don't know what happened, Like, doesn't anybody read a script before they start doing this stuff, But I heard it got hacked up really bad in editing, so maybe that was it. But
apparently Vin Diesel is like a gamer, though, so.
Yes, he's a very, very intense gamer. And
doesn't he have his own game company? I think he does.
Yes, he does. In fact, they were, they produced Chronicles of Riddick to some extent. I think his company was involved to some extent. But he definitely wanted, a high-quality game, and I know that he was looking over their shoulders during the development. And certainly he brings the same thing to the next game, because that wasn't...
Tygun Studios, it's called.
Yeah, he's also got that... He's got that Wheelman game in development he's starring in.
It's coming out in March.
Right.
Midway.
Yeah, and I can't think of another game adaptation that was better than the movie especially by that margin.
Right.
Has there
I don't
been
know.
Any
I'm
other?
Sure Max Payne's going to fall into that category, although that's not
well, that's an adaptation the other way. I mean, going that direction, the adaptations are like the game is always better than the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but this was the first game I can think of that was just so much better than I did the movie. It was a disaster. I don't even want to think about it. I'm going to cleanse my palate with the next item. Bethesda is explaining the use of Securom in Fallout 3. I think they're doing the right thing. They're just getting it out in the open. Dan, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, initially they had said, we're not doing anything special with DRM, and then people got the game and said, hey, there's Securom on here. Now, what the distinction there is, and they're even starting up the Amazon one-star bombing thing, although it looks like only they've only got like 40-some negative reviews right now, so it doesn't have the momentum that 40 one-star reviews right now on Amazon. It doesn't have the momentum that the Spore thing does, and the reason why is that all this is a disk check. And it's the same disk check that they've been using for years with Securom. I mean, yes, it does probably install the Securom drivers that people throw a fit about, and sometimes yes, they do cause problems. Like Kristen had a problem with the Lego Indie disk that was using a Securom disk check that refused to install on her machine that had some CD burning software pre-installed. Like it was already there; she didn't even put it on there herself.
Axia.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, apparently, if a few people are having problem with this, although there's a link on Bethesda's site saying now that you can just go onto the disk and run the exe like this the setup.exe itself, and that'll circumvent most compatibility problems. But this is pretty much just a disk check. This is not This is not, you know, forcing people to go online and activate. This is not, you know, limited installations. This is not an extreme form of DRM at all.
It's not. It's not even online authentication. Not even that.
Right. It doesn't require that you have an internet connection to play it or play or even to even activate. So it's nowhere near as big of an issue as it was with Spore. The only people that are I think having a problem with this are the people that are just vehemently against any secure ROM drivers being installed on their system, and they do have a point to some extent. It is installing software on your computer that does not uninstall when you uninstall the game. Although I did read somewhere that maybe this version of Secure ROM doesn't install something on your computer, but until details on that get cleared up, we'll just assume that it's like all the rest of the Secure ROM.
Secure ROM is always evolving, you know. So anything you say about it today may not be true next month, you know, because they're always working on it and trying to, you know, leapfrog over the hackers.
Right. A bonus trivia question, by the way. Who develops Secure ROM?
It's Sony, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
They own it.
They own it?
I believe they own it, the company,
right.
But I don't know if they're...
Well, it's Sony. Secure ROM is a Sony-owned company.
Yes. Right. Isn't that kind of interesting that we have a sort of console developer now owning the rights to a PC?
Well, not just console developer. I mean, they do they did like Star Wars Galaxies. They're doing the agency
console focus. Clearly, they own a platform. So yes,
right.
So there's that.
But Sony is pretty multi-platform in all senses of the word. I mean, their movies, their music, their games, their everything. So
yes.
But anyway,
I also want to emphasize that because I think a lot of people may still have the impression that Secure ROM is a rootkit, and we know that it is not.
Yeah,
you know,
the definition of a rootkit, as I understand it, does not apply in this case at all.
Not at all. Not at all. A rootkit, you know, gives itself access to your system, and it actually makes your system vulnerable, you know, by that same method. This is not a rootkit at all. It doesn't have, you know, rights to go through your system, doesn't give itself administrator rights, anything like that. It's
not
just
a driver.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not StarForce.
It's not StarForce either, yeah. There have been no reports of Secure ROM causing any hardware damage like there was on StarForce. So I think people are probably overreacting to this quite a bit. I'm glad that it hasn't picked up the same momentum as the Spore DRM on Amazon my opinion of Spore notwithstanding, I think this is a really great game that I think you should certainly play. It's worth having Secure ROM on your system, which 99% of the time isn't going to cause any problem unless you have certain software on there, in which case there's probably a way to circumvent it. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
If anyone has a legitimate beef with Bethesda, it would be me, because I was I did not receive a Pip-Boy as did Dan Stapleton and Kristen Salvatore. So I mean, seriously, if anyone should get on Amazon and start like pumping out the 1-star reviews, it ought to be me. What happened there?
I should point out, Logan, that Paul Kurthoys over at OXM also got one. Probably somebody at PTOM. I'm not sure who. Games Radar too, I'd bet.
He's really got a statue.
So what? That's part of the collector's edition, right?
Yeah, well, there are like two collector's editions, like two tiers of it. This is it comes with the super duper one, and it's a Pip-Boy, like in Fallout. For those of you who don't know, there's a wrist mounted computer that has all of your interface stuff on it. It's very retro design with a bunch of buttons and knobs and stuff that you you work to go through your inventory and see your status. And actually, Deslock doesn't like that very much because they made it so that you have to go in and actually push the buttons to get where you want, as opposed to just hitting I for inventory or M for map. And that's a very fair point. But as a collector's edition, add-in as they go, this is pretty awesome because it's actually a clock. So the screen is a clock, but so it doesn't actually tell you what inventory you're carrying, unfortunately, but it's still pretty cool.
We just We just had Todd Howard on the phone for the OXM show earlier, and he was saying how they wanted to actually have the Pip-Boy, this is just thoughts they were tossing around, be able to control the game in a way. So you could bring up, like, it would maybe have sound come out of it, and it would bring up, like, your inventory and stuff with the Pip-Boy, but, of course, that just got way too complicated.
Yeah, I'm guessing that would be kind of expensive.
And at exactly.
$200.
But awesome.
That would have been but think about how freaking awesome that would be.
I don't know, I think it might be kind of annoying.
Yeah, but awesomely annoying.
Imagine if you got it on the Wii, and you could buy like a little case that you strapped onto your arm to put the Wiimote in there. You could reach over and tap it.
I cannot imagine
Follow through on the Wii.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope somebody from housekeeping at night doesn't take a light shining to that Pip-Boy you have over your desk. That would be awful, is all I'm saying. So, let's move on. Hey, this blew me away when I saw it. I couldn't believe it. Jordan Mechner, the creator of the original Prince of Persia, has a blog at jordanmechner.com, JordanMechner.com. And he's been posting his blog entries from, what, something like 30 or 23 years ago, something like that, as he was creating the original Prince of Persia. And, you know, he had kept journal notes. And he posted to his blog video captures that he based his animations of the original Prince of Persia on, and they were of his little brother running around. And you've seen them, Kristen, right? The animations are exactly the same as the ones from the game. They were done beautifully.
Yeah, that's cool.
Including when he jumps and then he stumbles a bit when he lands. It's just amazing. Anyone who's a Prince of Persia fan has got to check that out.
Does he say how he did it exactly? I mean, was he doing it freehand, or was it some kind of rotoscoping where you take the film and draw on top of it? I mean, that was a long time ago. I don't even know if you could do that then.
Yeah, I don't actually recall. I would just watch the video like 200 times and didn't bother to read the actual blog entry, which I'll certainly get to next. Hey, Josh, I thought I put you on that. What happened?
I got a report for you.
Blame shift.
I'll give it to you after.
Blame shift. Yeah, but it's very, very cool. Definitely check it out. Another little news bite from Bethesda, the new Elder Scrolls game for 2010.
Maybe. I mean, it was kind of conjectural, the statement. It was like, oh, you know, we're going to, you know, keep on this schedule for games. And, you know, on that basis, there might be a new Elder Scrolls in 2010. So, I mean, that's not a verbatim quote, but that's kind of what they were going at.
If they have two teams or even one and a half teams, they've had 4 years since the last Oblivion, so you figure that's at least a decent amount of theoretical time.
Yeah,
and Bethesda's in-house development. I don't know exactly how many guys they've got, but I know that a lot of the guys that worked on Oblivion worked on Fallout. So I don't know if they've got two teams. I mean, like the two lead guys. Todd Howard and Emil Pagliaro. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right. It's difficult to pronounce. But those guys were both on Oblivion as well. So I don't think they have two teams working concurrently like that.
There's some good news from Intel in that the motherboards, the X58, with the X58 chipset and moving forward, are now have SLI on them. So, you know, before you couldn't do SLI on Intel motherboards, and now you can. People who will be shipping them are Asus, EVGA, MSI, Gigabyte, and DFI. And they will even support triple SLI if you've got that kind of money. And in this economy, I'm not sure I know a lot of people who do.
But just to be clear, that's not backward compatible with old Intel motherboards.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Only from the X58 chipset and presumably moving forward. So, you know, cash out the, 401k for whatever's left and get one.
Can we nickname triple SLI Tri-Sly?
Tri-Sly. I can't believe they don't call it that. Tri-Sly.
Do they call it a waste of money?
Hey! Hey,
I think that's a better nickname.
It's fantastic. Are you kidding?
Aren't the performance gains like diminishing as you go up like that? I mean,
yeah, after two they diminish sharply, but it's still cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
it is. You open the case, you look at it, and you're like,
I'm sure it's the only way to get that level of performance is by getting like three GTX 280s in there at the same time. Like if you've got a power plant in your backyard, that'd be great. because I know those things, you practically need a kilowatt power supply for two of them, right?
But they do have a technical term for it, and it is the factor.
Right. No, it's geek porn. That's what it is. But I mean, I certainly would never recommend anybody, show out that unless they've got more money than brains.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. If you've got a ton of money and you've got nothing better to do with it, by all means, you'll see.
I think you're underestimating the performance gain you can get from triple SLI, which is a little more than something to be casually dismissed.
Well, I mean, but the price performance ratio there is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. But if you've got a giant monitor,
I do have a giant monitor.
2560 by 1600 crisis, full on, all the effects.
I guess that's probably the only way you could run crisis at maxed out these days, huh?
Plus, the guy who has 16 instances of WoW running at the same time.
Yeah, on like 11 computers.
And people do.
Yeah, but I would never do it.
I think it's sexy. The zombie invasion is spreading, apparently, and it is now spread to WoW. Josh, you faced the onslaught there, did you not, last weekend?
Oh, yeah, I joined the onslaught. It was pretty awesome.
Josh,
oh, yeah.
Augustine is undead. Tell us about it.
So it sounds, Josh, as though you couldn't beat them.
Well, you could kill them, because basically how it
so
worked,
why did you join them?
Because it's fun. Oh, Left 4 Dead, I'm going to love being a zombie 10 times more than being a survivor. I mean, you can be a human in any game. It's not every game that lets you be a zombie.
Got a point.
There's Stubbs the zombie.
And that was it.
That's true.
So tell us about the invasion. How did it take place?
Yeah, it's good. It is kind of mysterious at first. Just a couple crates started showing up in Booty Bay, just this one kind of obscure port in the old world. And if you touched them, you got a plague. And if it didn't get cleansed within like 10 minutes, you got turned into a zombie. And you got a bunch of new abilities where you could retch all over the ground, and everybody turned enemy to you, except other players that were zombies. Even if you were Horde, you would be allied with other Alliance zombies and you could actually talk to each other. And so, yeah, and then if you got hit by a zombie or got touched, then you would get the disease. And it just started spreading because people would, run down to the port, get it, then go back to the main cities and just start hitting everybody they could find. And then it slowly, over days, Blizzard released new patches that kind of expanded it more. Rats started running around the town, infecting everybody that they touched. And then it finally ended up where there's a bunch of plural for necropolis? I don't know. Necropoli?
Necropoli?
Necropoli cropped up all over the world outside of all the main cities, and undead swarms started swarming in. It's pretty cool. They killed it after about a week. I don't know if it's because, but a lot of players were complaining, because they were getting attacked in their home cities and stuff. Mm. But
well, you're not safe anywhere. That's the point.
Exactly.
Now, when you turn into a zombie, I haven't actually seen a whole lot of this. When you turn into a zombie, would your avatar change? Would it look like a zombie, or does it just say zombie above your head?
Oh no, you actually change. They call it a ghoul usually in the World of Warcraft. It's a guy. I was bummed because they have a lot of different zombie models in the game, but all the player zombies turn into the exact same one, where you are a zombie and you move real slow and you have your bones are showing.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
You just said, sorry.
Duty.
Also, Logan, Booty Bay does not mean what you think it means.
It does too.
But yeah, I mean, it was an awesome event, and it's just nice to, have something different. And it's a lead-in into Wrath of the Lich King, because it's supposedly, Arthas, who's the main boss in the next expansion, was the one who started putting these boxes everywhere instead of starting an invasion. And the event's going to continue, I think, all the way into release. So this is just the beginning of it.
Oh, Arthas.
How diabolical.
You wacky scoundrel.
Yeah.
I'm going to put these boxes in ports. That'll get them.
Wasn't there also some undead tomfoolery going on in GTA 4, the console version?
Call of Duty 5. Call of Duty 5 has a zombie defense mode, where you're, it's a co-op mode where you've got players in a house and zombies are coming at you from all sides, and you have to shoot them and rebuild the barriers.
Tis the season. Zombies are popping up everywhere now.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Do you think it's the season, or do you think these are people trying to capitalize on the Left 4 Dead hype?
Yeah, trying to ride on their mangled coattails.
Right.
I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. I kind of find it hard to believe that like everybody would change their plans based on, or you know, would put all this effort into making zombie modes and zombie stuff just based on Valve. Even though it is, you know, a big gamer thing, and the timing is you know all right around Halloween, so and zombies are, you know, everyone loves zombies, so I don't know if that's
It's surprising to me that there haven't been more zombies up to this point. Like it seems like awesome idea. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like the absence of zombies is actually the anomaly, and the things are just kind of starting to get normal now. The bunch of zombies.
That's a good theory. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward the riding the coattails of Valve, you know, because the media thing they're doing, right, the push is amazing, a lot more than I would anticipated.
They're spending $10 million on marketing for that game.
$10 million.
But I mean, at the same time, these are things that would take time to come up with and implement. That you know they wouldn't necessarily know what Valve's schedule was. Like Left 4 Dead's release date moved several times. You know, and just recently settled on what we're hoping will be the final release date for the 19th next month. So I don't really see how they think that's going to really help. That doesn't really compute in my mind.
You know what the ultimate promo would have been is if they would have gotten like a couple undead to come up from behind Obama during his like ad last night, and then you know the screen goes and freaks out, and then you just see L4D coming no matter who wins.
Yeah, but then McCain would come out with an ad saying that Obama wants to cut taxes for zombies.
Let me tell you, those guys care about the death tax.
Yeah, you guys, do you want your wealth redistributed to the undead? I'm just.
Yes, we went there.
Some awful news for all you Hellgate London players. All what seven?
Seven or eight of them? Yeah.
So, God, it's heartbreaking. Dan, you want to tell us about, give us a scoop on the bad news, just recap it for anyone who may not know yet.
Well, there's been, you know, some back and forth on this. They recently announced that after January 31st, they're shutting down the servers for Hellgate. So, I'm pretty sure you can still play single player, right? I mean, even if they're just multiplayer servers. So there's no reason you couldn't still play your game if you bought it. You just can't go online. However, there's been some noise from Hanbitsoft, who's the Korean publisher, and I guess they want to get a little foothold in the U.S. and they're saying there might be some news coming soon. So they might reopen the servers, or they might, you know, keep them from going down. But in any case, it's looking a little grim for you if you want to play Hellgate online.
You know, that's kind of interesting. I have no idea whatsoever how much it costs just to maintain servers for something like that. I have no concept. It could be $2,000. It could be $200,000, and neither figure would kind of blow me out of the water. You know, does anyone have any idea?
They always like to keep those pretty secret.
Yeah. Nobody talks about that, huh?
And that's just. Are you just talking about like the bandwidth costs or the actual support costs, you know, like the overhead that comes with having customer service and
the trappings? I would say everything. Yeah, I would be very interested in knowing how much all that, just to keep things maintained, you know, not to add things, you know.
You know, it's not, I mean, it's, I guess you'd have to scale, like obviously you couldn't, I think the problem is that you can't scale it down enough so that if you really do only have a couple hundred players or whatever, you know, you have to have. I wonder what the minimum is so that you could, that would offset the cost of the minimum support costs.
Yeah,
like minimum
geez.
Player. I don't know.
Well, let's take some questions from people who are not dead.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Jonathan from Rochester, Minnesota, SteamID root canal, with a comment and a question. First, I love your podcast. I think it's fantastic. And I didn't think that there was any point in buying the magazine because of all the great stuff in the podcast. Wrong. I was in my in the airport without an MP3 player, and I recently just decided to pick up a copy of the mag, and I just loved it. So now I'm a subscriber. Thanks so much. It's a fantastic publication. Next, I was recently in Japan, and I went to a ninja village. It's kind of a tourist trap full of mostly Korean and Chinese tourists, but it was amazing. And it made me think, why don't they have an action-slash-stealth kind of Splinter Cell-style game with a ninja instead of Sam Fisher? They're super sneaky and stealthy, and who doesn't like Shriken? I mean, it seems more true to the ninja ways than those other ninja games like Ninja Gaiden. So, thanks so much, and please discuss.
I think that's an excellent question. I think that the same thing applies to why isn't there that type of game for Batman, who is also a ninja? Mm-hmm.
And I think that the licensing fees from Ninja Corp are quite steep. That's my understanding. I haven't seen the contracts,
you could say that the Thief games were kind of in that vein, where the guy wasn't actually a ninja, but he was kind of ninja like, and it was a stealth game like that. But outside of that. Have there been any decent...
Any Assassin's Creed had ninja-like aspects to it.
Yeah, but it wasn't stealth. I mean, that...
No, that's true, yeah.
And there were some stealth elements to it, like you can blend into a crowd, but you didn't need to. I mean, you could just go and kill everybody. So I didn't play it like a stealth game. I just went in and kicked everyone's ass. But
although you could certainly see how they'd use they could use the engine to make something like that.
Maybe they need to improve some of the wall climbing and make it more acrobatic
definitely.
It's like an untapped resource to make like a feudal ninja game. That would be maybe really
or a modern.
Yeah. That is actually a really great idea. You know, in Tomb Raider Underworld, they've done amazing stuff with the animations, and now she's got all kinds of ninja like moves. You know, when she scales walls and she can perch, you know, on these little pinpoint peaks, very Jet Li esque. From what was it, Monkey Claw or something like that, Iron Monkey or something, yeah.
I really want to see an MMO that's ninjas versus pirates versus robots versus astronauts. I don't know, just get some crazy sides in there. I'm tired of elves and stuff.
I'm tired, Dan. I'm tired of elves, Stapleton.
Yes.
For a ninja game, though, I think the difficulty lies in creating something like a original context. I mean, on consoles, you have Ninja Gaiden, Tenchu, a couple others I can't remember. There's the Sega one. And, I mean, just the characters themselves all are pretty similar. They have similar abilities. They fight similar enemies that are sort of semi-mystical and have, you know, magic spells sometimes. I don't know. It's hard to create an original context, I think, for ninjas.
First of all, if you build the gameplay, they will come. A ninja like storyline doesn't even have to be that deep. But if you did wanted to do it, you could pull from any number of manga or any there are a bajillion ninja stories out there. You could make a game out of if you wanted to.
Like the three ninjas, that was a great
surf ninjas.
Yeah,
exactly, like surf ninjas. That's what I had in mind.
Yeah, if you really need a ninja game fix, I mean, a lot of non-ninja games let you kind of play a ninja style. Like, I'm going through Fallout 3 right now as stealth and unarmed and that sort of stuff, where, I mean, it's not really built towards a ninja, but you can kind of emulate it if you want to.
One of the high-level perks in Fallout 3 is ninja.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I wonder if there's any cool headgear that would function as a wrap.
Man, I wonder what this podcast is going to be named. Something ninja, no doubt.
Hmm.
There are no ninja. But getting back to Fallout, there are no like ninja looking head wraps in that, I don't think. But there are a few Raider helmets that could suffice.
I did get a hockey mask. I'm still trying to get a chainsaw to complete it, but it's awesome.
The hockey mask does increase your unarmed skill by 5 points. Also, there's another perk. There's another perk that I just got called like the palm strike or paralyzing palm strike. Where it gives you a chance of hitting somebody with, you know, totally unarmed. You can't even be using brass knuckles or a power fist or anything. Hit somebody totally unarmed, and it has a chance of stunning them for 30 seconds. So I've been...
Punch their head off.
Yeah. You can do that, too. But I've been using that, and then, you know, while they're unconscious, I'll plant a landmine next to them. So when they wake up, they explode. I like it.
You cruel man.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Ian from Nashville, Tennessee. And I was wondering, my system has a single 8800 GT and a 2.66 Intel processor. And, you know, I want to play all the new games, like, pretty well, no frame rate hits. And, like, you know, Fallout 3, Far Cry 2, and I want to know if I need to upgrade or not. And, you know, my birthday is in a little while, and Christmas is not too far off. So should I think about getting a new graphics card or a new processor? Okay. Can't wait to hear what you say. Bye.
Gosh, I think you're doing great with a 2.66 and a 8800 GT. That's a fantastic combination. You'll certainly play Fallout 3.
Yeah, so I assume he's talking to a quad core, because a 2.66, I guess it could be a dual core, but I'm running basically the same exact thing, and Fallout 3 runs like a charm on high.
Yeah, I'd say wait at least a couple more seasons before, you know, and save up so you can buy something a little more expensive. Maybe 4 or 5 months down the road, because that'll easily take care of Far Cry 2 and Fallout 3. I think you'll have no problems unless you're running, you know, at 2560 by 1600, which I doubt. You know, you're probably doing
1680 by 1050 or
1680 by 1050? Yeah.
Yeah, this runs.
So
really
yeah,
well.
you'll be fine. Don't sweat it. You know, buy yourself a, you know, really nice jacket like Sarah Palin or something like that.
And you'll want to wait until Core i7 drops in order to upgrade processors, probably, to see how that whole thing plays out.
So yeah, you know, you'll be fine. And there's really, really great stuff coming around the corner. That'll be really expensive throughout the end of this year, but the price on that will start coming down sharply, you know, after the holidays. And you'll hear about that in the next couple weeks. I guarantee it, because it's big. Can't really talk about it right now, but you'll know it when it comes. But anyway, by the time, you know, 4 or 5 months from now, you'll be able to buy it up for, you know, potato chips.
The 8800 and 9800 GT are kind of like the magic card right now, aren't they?
I mean, and the 8800 GT, that was a fantastic piece of hardware and still is. You know, for the amount of money it costs and for how much performance you get out of it, it's a terrific combination with a 2.66.
Yeah, they're about $160 right now.
I think they're even less than that. Yeah,
that's such a good deal. They just purr along, and I'm really surprised at how great they've performed for how long it's been. It's been almost a year now, or maybe not.
Yeah, and it's a small card. You know,
yeah, it's one slot
system. It doesn't run super hot. Yeah, you did well. Good friend.
Oh, hello, Scrooge here, classic Dickens character, but also very frugal gamer, aye, bordering on budget gamer even, which is why I've always loved Valve's multiplayer games. You know, Team Fortress 2, it was $20, Counter-Strike Source, $20, Day of Defeat Source, $20 when it first came out, and now it's way cheaper. Can you see a pattern here? Which is why I was so excited about Left 4 Dead, because Valve have such a great record of such frugally priced multiplayer games. But then the poovy pobag of Great Pillix charged $50 for it, $45 if you preload, but still more expensive than the entire Orange Box. Can I get an och eye here?
That's Scottish, by the way, not Irish.
Dude, you have no idea how awesome this game is, worth every penny, I guarantee it. Sorry.
First of all, it's not more expensive than the entire Orange Box. The entire Orange Box was $50. So, but it's also more game there, I think, than any one component of the Orange Box. I mean, it's got each of the four chapters is, you know, an hour to an hour and 45 minutes long. So you know, that's a healthy chunk of game there. It's very replayable. It's got
endlessly replayable.
Yeah, pretty much endlessly. I'm sure you get sick of anything eventually. I mean, people get sick of Team Fortress 2 eventually, but
not really.
But others don't.
Yeah. Hello, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, eventually you'll get sick of it. Not yet, but eventually. But yeah, I think there's more game there than any of those other games.
You know, if once a year you splurge, this is the game to splurge on. Although I'm totally with you on the whole frugal bit, you know, I go home, eat cat food instead of ordering in. But this is the one game that I would make an exception for because it's definitely worth it. I'm sure there will come a time in the next, you know, few months when maybe they'll do a special on a weekend, you know. But it's worth it, really, seriously. I've played it. We're chomping at the bit to play it again. And we'll be playing it day and night when it comes out.
Just to speculate, is EA at all part of the equation in that higher price point, do we think?
I doubt it. I mean, they were, you know, the shelf publisher or distributor for the Orange Box as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't, like, insist that they break up those games into the $350 games. You know, Valve, if they wanted to, can charge whatever they want on Steam. So I don't think you can blame EA for that. Again, just look at the like dollar per hour entertainment cost you're getting from this and from most games, really. I mean, it's astronomical, or like astronomically small compared to, that doesn't even make sense, but very, very small compared to like a movie or, you know, even cable TV, you know, unless you're going to watch it like all the time, because you pay once and then you can play as much as you want. You know, even if it's a, you know, a 10-hour game, that's still less than you'd pay to, you know, take a family of four to the movies for 2 hours. So it's very much worthwhile.
And you don't suffer the way you did paying for Babylon AD.
Right.
Has Valve ever let you down, Ebenezer Scrooge? No, they haven't.
That's a fine point. Yes. Playlists, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the greatest time of the year? Are we not knee deep in an embarrassment of riches?
It's really more like, what aren't we playing?
Yeah, it's
than anything.
Legal at home right now. I'm doing Dead Space, which I love, and thank you to whoever brought up the whole issue about turning off VSync. Whole different game. With VSync off, you can actually control it.
I'm sure you've heard me rant about the messed up controls there, where it felt like the mouse was laggy or floaty or something. Apparently, you just flip off VSync and it goes away. I wish they told me.
I'm also playing Tomb Raider Underworld. Fantastic! You'll read about it in the January 09 issue, and as well as Fallout 3. Still, Kristen, how about you?
Fallout 3. Yep.
Yeah, I think we can. Yep, that's a very reliable standby.
I'm not even sure I need to say anything else. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Real quick, is anybody not playing Fallout 3?
I stopped playing it.
Hang your head in shame.
Yeah, what is that?
How dare you?
Ouch.
Then what are you playing? Explain yourself.
Yeah, well, basically, I started playing it and I was like, because Dan handed the retail copy to me earlier last week, and I was really excited, and I started playing it. I was like, wow, I did not feel prepared to like immerse myself in that experience. I just felt I didn't have the patience to do a lot of quests, so I sort of put it aside. I'm playing Call of Duty World at War right now for review, and continue to play Team Fortress 2. I have a...
Evan, I think that that you need to take a spirit walk and clear your head for Fallout.
Spirit walk.
Yeah, pretty much a journey.
Yeah, go into the woods for a few days and come back and you'll be ready to play Fallout.
No,
also, you don't get to bring any food.
That was sage counsel if I ever heard it. Dan, how about you? What are you playing?
I'm playing Fallout. Well, I'm playing Fallout. I try and get in a few minutes a day at least, even though I don't. I have been, you know, crushed under an avalanche of games. I still haven't gotten
time. You've already played through it once.
I have, but I'm not done.
I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying, like, you've actually played through it once.
Yeah, I'm 3/4 of my way through the second playthrough.
You hear that, Evan?
you have catching up to do.
It's not a race.
Yeah, because I've already won it. First time I played through is good because I always kind of play my conscience as, the first time I go through, but I'm always watching all the negative options, all the evil options, and think to myself how much fun that's going to be when I get to play through a second time and be evil. So for review, I just finished playing Penny Arcade Episode 2, and I'm in the middle of playing Spider-Man Web of Shadows, which you should not buy. More on that in the January issue.
Mr. Augustine, how about you?
Well, as long as the event was going, I was zombifying as many people as I could in World of Warcraft. And then I picked up Far Cry 2, which is really good. I got 20% through it, then got handed Fallout 3, and everything else is kind of put aside as I'm cruising through that.
That'll happen. Definitely. And Mr. Bauman, how about you? What are you up to?
I've been playing World of Goo and
excellent.
Peggle. And Fallout. Oh, and I finished Stalker.
Nice.
Finally, which was
Clear Sky. Right?
Clear Sky, correct. And I just got Fallout 3 last night and started it up, played for like 3 hours, and man, when Ron Perlman's voice chimed in, I got chills. So I'm so looking forward to playing, just like immersing myself in that game.
I envy you being at the beginning.
Yeah.
What were your three tag skills, Andy?
I switched. At first, I was science, energy, weapons, and speech. And then I remembered playing through Fallout 2 with science, and it kind of got me nowhere. So I switched science to small guns.
It's a little different in this one. I mean, they're very conscious of the fact that, you know, in the first two games, some skills were more useful than others. So okay. A lot of them were totally neglected. So in this one, science is kind of analogous to lockpicking because it helps you to hack into computer systems. So you can do things. You can open doors that you couldn't do otherwise, and you can hack computers to activate turret systems or get information to solve quests that way. Like, you know, if your quest is to find something out, you can find it out that way. And the hacking minigame is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked trying to do the hacking minigame, the first Overseer hack terminal. Right. But I just remember Fallout. In Fallout 2, I kind of screwed myself because I thought I had good science skill. And at the end of the game, one of the things you can do is set the turrets to help you defeat the last boss battle. Right. But like my science skill just wasn't quite high enough, and I locked down all the computer systems, and it like locked me out of it, and it totally made the boss battle impossible. So I was like, ugh, science.
That's the famed way of going through that game without firing a shot.
Yep.
You can kill the boss by having his own turrets kill him. But in this case, it's a little different.
Okay.
And for the hacking minigame, there's something that you might not have noticed when you're going through the code.
Mm-hmm.
If you mouse over just the gibberish code, you can find areas where the cursor will light up more than one character. If you click on that, it will either eliminate one of the dud possibilities or it will refresh your allowance of attempts.
Ooh.
What?
Wow.
And you can find a bunch of those in the code usually. Also,
that's free of charge from the PC Gamer podcast.
Ah.
Also, another hacking tip is if you think you're about to fail the game, and if you do fail it, it locks out the computer. You can't try again.
Yeah.
If you're about to fail, you're on your last attempt. Hit the power button on the not your computer, but on the screen.
That'll take care of it.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, but there's a power button to close out of that interface. Hit that button and then just start the game over again. You lose your any progress you had in figuring out what the word was because it resets it, but it doesn't lock you out of the terminal.
Mm.
Very nice. Maybe I should go back to science still. Wow.
Yeah, and
pretty nice.
And they also kind of change things from other games where your level of skill actually affects the difficulty of the game. It does to some extent, but it also you can't even attempt to solve a puzzle that is out of your skill range, your skill range. Yeah. So if you have 25% like lock picking or science, you can't attempt to pick or hack a very hard lock or computer.
Wow, that's a hell of a value add for this podcast, I must say.
Yeah.
Don't think of this as the end of podcast number 154. Think of it instead as the beginning of podcast 155, and that podcast begins with you, the listener. So send your questions to us in MP3 format to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. That's pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question there, and remember to keep it brief and no cussing. You can also empower yourself to become a part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. Scroll down, and on the left side of the screen, you'll see a button, and you can click subscribe. Come November 4th, the cast and crew of the PC Gamer podcast strongly encourages you to go to the polls and vote for the clear choice to lead our nation through the next 4 years. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is a rock legend, Logan Decker, saying thanks for listening, happy Halloween, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again next week. And go ahead and bleep out Bigfoot and Sasquatch.
And Tucker.
Yes.
Or you can, you know, go ahead and we urge people to vote for Tucker.
Yeah. Oh my god! What is that?
Logan's right remix in. Button.
Logan is a robot.
No, I don't hear it.
You don't hear it? But do you know what causes it? Like, do you have a little button?
No, I have no idea. I've never even heard like what it is that. This effect. Yeah. Let's start over. Who start over? Who about like you know how they?
Did everyone else hear that?
Yeah, yes. Did that awesome yeah. like that Logan remix.
Yeah,
Logan pushed the remix button. Yeah.
Am I okay now?
Yeah,
you're okay. Now.
Okay.
Real quick, can we take a moment here? We lost Josh a minute ago.
Oh really?
No.
Man down.
Where'd he go?
Man down.
Leave him.
No, going back for him.
Get to the safe room.
No man.
Leave
left
him back.
Behind.
Left for dead.
He's hanging off the side of a building with a tongue wrapped around his neck. Sorry.
Hey PC Gamer, I just left a message leaving my real name, which is Ian, and can you take out the last part? Because I don't.
Absolutely not.
Let's play the real
thing. Thanks for calling, we'll get right on that.
Ladies and gentlemen, our new editor-in-chief,
Neil.
Please leave all of that in and just beep out his last name.